good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, and Howling for Wolves would like to invite you to a special event this coming October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Downtown Park Pavilion in Hopkins, Minnesota. They are hosting a fundraiser with Native American singer-songwriter Jen Hewitt, so make sure you check out howlingforwolves.org/event for complete information.
Hey, just talked to Jen, and she said at the end of the conversation, she said, peace out and keep all your feathers, and that was pretty rad coming from her. So we discuss local and national news and events on here, and as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues, and we're really proud to be one of the few shows in the nation to give you Native news updates and events, and I guess without any further ado, let's go to Ogama with the news.
Hi, Animbuju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news for you today. Special shout out to Crash for sending this to me. I had not seen this one come through, but it looks like it was announced today out of Madison, Wisconsin from the Associated Press. A judge has halted the Wisconsin fall wolf season just 2 weeks before hunters were going to take to the woods. It looks like they issued a temporary injunction halting the season, which was set to begin on November 6th. And the order is coming as part of a lawsuit that a coalition of wildlife advocacy groups filed in August seeking to stop the hunt and invalidate the state law which authorizes the annual hunting season. So that is great news. And Wendy, if you're listening, I'm so excited. That's a big part of what Howling for Wolves does and a big part of Wendy's heart. So I'm happy to hear that that's been halted.
Yeah, and a shout out to the nations in Wisconsin, including my nation, Ho-Chunk Nation, that really fought back on this. And I had a chance to talk to the governor at a golf course with the governor of Wisconsin to tell him that those are our net relatives that they're killing. So that just it's just great news, Ogama.
Yeah, I'm totally stoked about it. I've got some really other great news today, too, Robert, if you're ready to hear it.
Anytime. Great.
You know how we were talking about Twin Metals and the Polymet mine in northern Minnesota and how it might be affecting the boundary waters? It looks like actually the Biden administration this week took steps to protect Minnesota's Superior National Forest from mining. So it looks like the Interior and Agricultural Departments announced a plan to protect the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness and its surrounding watershed in northern Minnesota, saying that the concerns about potential mining effects in the wilderness area are problems. So specifically, the two agencies launched a process that bars the issuance of new prospecting permits or leases for mining-related activities in the area. But the move doesn't affect existing rights or activities on private lands. The departments noted that there are two leases within the area in question tied to the proposed Twin Metals mine that are currently still tied up in litigation. So the fight isn't over, but there won't be any new permits or leases made on public lands. However, private lands is another part of the story. And if you're up here in northern Minnesota, you know that Twin Metals has bought a lot of land to consider it private land as well. So this fight is far from over, but it's definitely good news to hear that the Biden administration is at least, you know, acknowledging that this is a problem, unlike the Line 3 struggle in northern Minnesota, which the Biden administration has been reluctant to comment on. You know, we got to take these wins where we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of Line 3, if you are in Minnesota this coming Thursday, October 28th, from 5 to 7 p.m., you can help them picket the Army Corps of Engineers to stop Line 3. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District has an office in St. Paul, and they are going to be demanding that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers stop Line 3's oil pipeline until a full environmental assessment has been done. And it is their duty to do that. Make sure you check out Picket the Army Corps of Engineers to Stop Line 3 on Facebook for more information on what's going on with that event. And then Friday, October 29th at 3 p.m., the following day, also in St. Paul, at Concordia and Lexington Avenues intersection in St. Paul, MN350, the Rainforest Action Network, Climate Movement Minnesota, and others are hosting a For the Future Stop Line 3 rally and banner drop in coordination with Free the Future, where young people across the world are rising to demand immediate end to the funding of fossil fuels. You can join that day in taking action, not only just to Stop Line 3, but demanding a fossil-free future for our youth. That is something that we all really need to be considering here.
That's hard to say, too.
Yes, fossil-free future. It's Friday, too. The other thing that I wanted to do here is to make sure that we're actually talking about Apache Stronghold and protecting what's known as Oak Flat. There was a case today. The Apaches in court asked to save their sacred land. So if you're not familiar with what's happening at Oak Flats. The Oak Flats, also known to the Apache, is Chichil-Bildagotil. See, that one's hard to say, too. I'm so sorry if I butchered that, any Apache who are listening. It's a sacred site for the Apache people since before recorded history, and it's located in Arizona's Tonto National Forest. The federal government has promised to protect this place, but in 2014, it actually caved to pressure from special interest lobbyists and initiated a land transfer to a foreign-owned mining company with plans to construct a mine that would completely obliterate the site. The crater created by the mining company is estimated to be nearly 2 miles wide and over 1,100 feet deep. So that's roughly the size of the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and about as deep as two of the Washington Monuments.
Wow.
They're just going to blow a hole in this sacred ceremonious sacred site. And the Apache's religious ceremonies, their core religious ceremonies, are tied to this land. So the Apache Stronghold filed a lawsuit arguing that the destruction of their sacred land violates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the U.S. Constitution, and an 1852 treaty promising that the United States would protect their land to secure the permanent prosperity and happiness of the Apache. The final environmental impact statement was published January 15th of 2021, but it was later withdrawn on March 5th, just a few hours before the government's response was due in litigation, and that temporarily delayed the transfer. However, a federal environmental impact statement could be reissued at any time, which would then trigger a 60-day window in which the land must be transferred. And once that transfer takes place, the federal government can't do anything to protect it. So oral arguments before a three-judge panel on the Ninth Circuit happened just this morning, October 22nd. So I'm really desperate to hear what's going on with this. This is something that I've been following, and I haven't been able to talk too much about it on Native Roots Radio. But this is another really important thing that our people, our relatives, the Apache, are dealing with. If you're looking to get involved, the person who tipped me off to this to remind me that this case was coming up today, shout out to you, Adelita, is asking, or it looks like she sent me a link for the California Poor People's Campaign, which is a national call for moral revival. She sent me a link to their Facebook page, and they're doing a lot of different Protect the Sacred sites throughout the country. So that's a really interesting and cool page you can definitely follow. And then again from yesterday, our families and hearts are with the Echo Hawk family after Bunky Echo Hawk was in an accident and his 15-year-old daughter Alexi was killed. There is a GoFundMe at GoFundMe.com. If you search Bunky Echo Hawk, you can donate to the family to help with expenses and ongoing medical care needed for Bunky as he was injured pretty severely.
Hey, Pini Gigi. For the news, as always, Ogama. That was Ogama with the news. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next, State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The new Line 3 tar sands crude oil pipeline threatens our water and climate.
It's the end of the tar sands party, and Enbridge wants to sell some oil. Tar sands is the dirtiest oil in the world, so they really put our Great Lakes water in peril. The environmental permitting for this process is a joke. The line was shoved down our throats, and that's wrong. And we're still fighting it, and it's brutal. They should do an environmental impact statement on this project.
Visit stopline3.org to take action.
What we want is a just transition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. You can get involved at mn350.org.
Wow. Hey, again, fabulous news. The wolf hunt is temporary off in Wisconsin. That's probably the best news we've heard all day. Wendy just texted me and said that it's fabulous news. I saw it at the Star Trib article today, so she's on top of it. Just great news. And speaking of great news, we have State Senator Mary Kunish here, and we always have a really positive – you know, I think you're the most positive politician we know, and that's really a compliment because it's you tell the truth and what's going on and what you're doing and the struggles of our people – but it's also I don't know, I always feel good after I hear you talking about it. Even if it isn't a good day, you make it a good day. So welcome, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Thank you, Robert. So good to see all of you this evening. Happy to be here.
Thank you. You too. We got a little audio problem here. We're really hot here in a couple places. Go ahead, Mary.
So it's been a beautiful day or a week in Minnesota. I don't know across the nation what your weather is like, but we're in the throes of change of from the summer to autumn with that little chill in the air. I have it's kind of interesting. Every morning my phone starts to ping, 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 and it's my family members, my brothers and sisters from all over the country, checking in and telling us what kind of weather they've got and what the temperature is. But we've been sharing sunrising pictures this past week, and they have been absolutely stupendous. So wherever you are across the nation or Canada, wherever you're listening, I hope you're having sunrises like we're having in Minnesota, because they are colorful and they're vibrant, and some of the cloud formation is just unbelievable. So I don't know. Have you guys been getting up early enough to see the sunrise?
Heck yeah. I can't help but get up early, darn it. And then I got meetings from 8 on. So if I want to get my 10,000 steps in, Mary, I have to be up at 6:45, 7 o'clock.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm glad that you're up early when we're all up early. I know for you and for me, it's really different because we're not getting up to go to school. We're just getting up to do the other work we decided to do in our retirement. So
yeah,
it's a different world out there.
Yeah, it definitely is. So what have you been doing? I talked to Heather Keeler. I want to state rep Heather Keeler, and she's I don't know. She must be 30 years younger than us, because she's just going, and she's got it starting a business. And I mean, I'm just trying to chill out here, and you are working 24/7 too. So, I mean, how does she do it?
I don't know. I'm always impressed with our state our legislators, here in the state level, who are parents to young children. I know Heather's got, you know, two boys. There are plenty of legislators who are pregnant during our session, have a child during the session. The first year I was elected, there was one of our state legislators who had twins, and she brought them to the Capitol every single week, all day, every day, in the beginning. And so we all got to know her little kiddos, and it was pretty special.
That is special. Hopefully Ogama will bring her new baby to the show too. And right, Ogama?
You know, I don't know that I'm going to have much of a choice. So I'm pretty excited about that. For those of you who don't know, I'm expecting another daughter in March of 2022. So early March. We'll see when she decides to arrive. But it's very, very exciting. And Senator Mary Kunesh just had a new grandbaby, too, I believe, a granddaughter as well. So lots of babies this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Fridays are going to be my, when my daughter goes back to work, Fridays will be my day for daycare. So maybe I'll have her here a few times and you'll get to meet little Rita Jeanne d'Arc.
Yeah, we'd love to. We'd love to. So
I'm doing a little happy dance over here.
Oh, okay, cool. what else is going on? Did you hear the good news in Wisconsin? We've been talking about, Mary, with the wolf hunt has been delayed. So I guess people speaking up does work in other states and here.
It really does. And that was just, I don't know if Wisconsin was even expecting that to happen. The number of wolves that were killed far and above what they had anticipated or expected. And so I'm glad that they've delayed that. They'd annihilate the whole population. You know, we have coyotes where I live here. I'm a first ring suburb out of, right nestled between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we have coyotes. We have wild turkeys. We have raccoons. I mean, we have all of these things. But, you know, it's sort of a lot of rabbits. So I feel like when you remove one of those elements, the whole population of all these different intersecting animals that keep our communities kind of unique and different and healthy really gets messed up. And we've seen that happen. The Royal Islands up north, is that where it was, where all the coyotes were killed or died off and the moose population went, you know, and couldn't be sustained, and then they reintroduced it and everything rebalanced itself?
Right. Wow. You have a good memory, because I don't know if Wendy reported on that too, but that was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Reintroducing the coyote was huge. And so that's just like our ecosystem is so sensitive. And then we have 80-degree days in October, and we're wondering what the heck's going on. At first you're going, hey, it's pretty nice out. And then you start really thinking about it, or looking at Facebook a year ago, it snowed. You know, two days ago. And here I am, you know, wearing shorts still on my morning walk.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's hardy Minnesotans that wear shorts all through the winter anyway. So you never quite know. But I have been busy this week working on putting together, helping to organize and put together, collaborate on an art installation in St. Paul. It's called The Red Dress art exhibit, and it's been going around. It started in Canada and has been going around to different locations, addressing the issue of the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And it's a project that was begun by a woman named Jamie Black, I believe her name is. And it really focuses specifically around the issue of missing and murdered or Aboriginal women across Canada. That's where it really starts. And it's an installation art project that's based on the aesthetic response to this, we have a national issue. Canada has a national issue. So let's just call it a North America issue. And what we do is we hang dresses, red dresses, usually on trees. And so these are going up in the center quad of the University of St. Catharines in St. Paul, which is a women's college. And it's a visual reminder of the, you know, staggering number of women who have gone missing or were murdered, but ultimately are not with us anymore. And it really is to bring more attention to the, you know, the gendered and the racialized nature of violent crimes against our Indigenous women. And we really want to, you know, ask people to pause and think about the violence that too many of our women of color, not just our Indigenous women, are susceptible for so many different reasons. And so we've been working with the College of St. Catharines, and then we've got a number of our Native leaders, women here in Minnesota, that have been participating in it as well. And tomorrow is actually the the opening afternoon. So if you're not busy, why don't you come on over, Robert, and we'll see you there, and you can maybe take some information on this whole installation. But it's going to be a really special day.
Wow. And it's as you know, and been to our home studio, we're a skip, hop, and a jump away from St. Kate's.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely try and make that. Mary, do you have time for another a segment with us?
Sure.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
My community means everything to me. That's why I joined the Army National Guard. I'm proud of where I'm from, and as a soldier, I get to give back to the people that helped me succeed. The training and leadership skills I get from the Army National Guard help me every day when I teach young people and look out for my community. If you'd like to learn how you too can serve part-time in the community you love, visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we never add fillers or basting solutions, just 100% pure turkey. And we're proud to remain an independent family farm. Looking for an extra special addition to this year's Thanksgiving feast? Our fresh, never frozen turkeys remove the hassle of thawing and can be picked up just days before your celebration. Available at natural food stores across the region. Reserve your fresh, free-range Thanksgiving turkey for pickup at our store right on our farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our retail partners. For more information on finding our Ferndale Market Thanksgiving turkey near you, visit us at ferndalemarket.com. That's ferndalemarket.com. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. FerndaleMarket.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Frosty conditions overnight with partly cloudy skies and a low of 33, then sunshine on Saturday with a high of 51. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has been helping find a place for fire in people's lives for over 45 years. Check them out at woodlandstoves.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Yeah. That one always cracks me up. And
oh my gosh, I always laugh when I hear that.
And Ogwa's daughter, when she does the intro, that always cracks me up and gives me a big smile. Got a chance to see A Tribe Called Red, which are now called the Hallucination, and I'll be doing a little bumper with them. They did a nice little thing for me. I just have to throw some of their music on it. But yeah, it's fun creating and all that. But so yeah, I can't wait tomorrow to swing by St. Kate's on my walk and check that out. It's whenever
2 p.m.
Say 2 p.m. Whenever I see an installation like that, whether it's a picture of a red dress in a tree or hanging somewhere, it really, really hits me.
It is really thought-provoking. And what was beautiful was on Wednesday. We had rain. Thursday, we went over and we prepared the ground at the university for it. Jessica, and I'm afraid I've forgotten her last name, Jessica Ryan, set it up, and she came and joined all of the students and the people that had organized it, and we had a nice big circle. We talked about what it meant, what these dresses meant. Jessica explained where a number of the dresses came from personally, and some of the tribes that had donated the red dresses to this installation. And then we all smudged, and then we walked around the perimeter and smudged the perimeter. But what was really, really neat is that we wanted to put some high up in the trees. And so the university had a tree service come with one of their big lifts. And there were four guys that were there to do it. And they joined us. They stood in the circle and said they had no idea this is what they would be doing when they went to work today. But they, you could tell that they were moved and that they did not mind participating in it. And when it did come time for them to use their big machine up into the tree, it was really fascinating to watch them and listen to them as they looked and viewed where a dress should be hung and what they could trim off so that it was visually pleasing. And so it was just wonderful. So Jessica Ryan, who I know from the ICWA Law Center, is participating. Justice Ann McKeag, she will be there tomorrow as well. Justice Terry Yellowhammer, Standing Rock, Lakota, will be there. Sandy Whitehawk, and then just a number of the folks from St. Kate's. And then Uncle Jerry will be there to do the prayer. The Lemoyne brothers will be there, and drummers. So it will be a really significant day. My daughter's bringing my granddaughter over, so it'll be her first little experience. And I'm just hoping that as we go through, this installation will be through November, that a lot of people will be able to come over and walk through and just get a feeling for the injustice to women across the continent, as we talked about.
Wow, that's a really amazing. And it's always curious to see how your baby is going to, or your grandbaby is going to react to the drum. I know. One of my daughters, really, it hit her soul. And she got really emotional the first time she heard the drum. So it'll be interesting. Look at Veronica says, glad Mary is my senator. That's really nice of her.
Oh, Veronica, good evening to you. Veronica's a wonderful, wonderful active progressive in our district. So I'm proud that I get to represent her.
Yeah, and it's awesome that she's listening. And then I want to let Ogama jump in.
Oh, my gosh,
here.
Look at all those hearts.
Thanks, God. I want to get Ogama in here because we like to say what the portion's brought to you by. Go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah, speaking of missing and murdered Indigenous people, the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition is sponsoring this part of the show, and they do a lot of work with that, too. So I just wanted to pop that in there.
Yep.
Thank you, Ogama. Yeah. So how did this come about? Who reached out to you with this great event? It's sounding greater and greater as we talk about it.
Right. It was actually the university, the College of St. Catharines, reached out to us. And so I'm a graduate of St. Catharines. I went a year and a half out of high school and then took a break, had some adventures, started a family, and then went back and finished my teaching degree. By the time I was 35 years old, it took me that long. But I come from a long line of women that have attended St. Kate's. Justice McCaig also is a graduate of St. Catherine's, and she's our first Native American justice here in Minnesota, judge. And so she has been interacting in different ways with the university as well. And so they reached out to her and said, we'd like to do this. Who else do you think would work well in this, you know, putting together? And so she invited a few of us to join. And so it really did come from the university, and they recognize, you know, it's a woman's Catholic college, but they recognize and they take very seriously their role as leaders, women leaders, in ensuring that our families and our communities are having the feel of social justice. Yeah. And that was one of the things I'm so proud to be an alum from. And so they were the ones that wanted to do it, and they worked with the artists from Canada and got it going.
Well, you know, I was thinking before you said that too, that, you know, we live right by St. Kate's, and St. Kate's has always been very progressive, always. And I don't know if you remember way back when it was St. Thomas was all male and St. Kate's mm-hmm. was all female, and then St. Thomas became a university. I don't know, it was the early 70s, and they had women, but St. Kate's remained all girl, which you think about it, it's like, well, but that's not very progressive. But you know what? They are very progressive.
It was the best place for me as an adult woman. And I went to weekend college, and I had a sister, and my youngest sister was a full-time student there. So I would bring my kids over on the weekend, and she would babysit them in the dorms while I went to class.
Wow.
But it was, and there were guys in our class for those kind of classes. I think they were mixing them up by then. But it was the conversations and the level of discussion, whether it was art history or theology or philosophy or an education program, because there was so much diversity coming and we were all sort of older adult students, it was just the best experience, and I've always been drawn back to it. And like I said, from like my grandma attended that, my aunts wow. attended that, my great aunt attended St. Kate's, my cousins, my sisters, and we have a legacy there. And I don't think there's a one of us that regret or said, oh, I wish I would have chosen something different, because it really does speak to the whole person as a woman and the values of this world. And maybe we don't always meet at the same point as a Catholic university, but they recognize the role of the church in the indigenous issues that are here today. And we've had conversations about what they can do or what we can do to, we can't take it away or redo things, but what can we do in this day and age to make sure that the atrocities of the boarding schools and the violence against women, economic equity, those sort of things are going to happen going forward?
Well, that's really obvious in what's going to happen Saturday, isn't it? It's just like, there it is right there, in proof, reaching out to a Native woman, and then you knew how to make it good in a good way, and it sounds fabulous.
It took all of us. Let me tell you, it took all of us. It was not just, again, the university wasn't saying, "Oh, we're going to do this exhibit. If you guys want to come in and show up, blah blah blah." Token Native right. women. No, right. they asked us from the very ground up. What should we do? How should we do this? Who should we ask to participate? And it's going to be when we started the installation on Thursday, I was already very emotional, as you can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we got Ogama back, and I wonder, Ogama, do you have a question for Mary? Or have you been able to listen to the conversation? It's pretty exciting and intense, almost reminds us a little bit of what went on in the Capitol during the red dress and all those beautiful red dress cardboard cutouts and murdered and missing indigenous women.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was a spectacularly beautiful event that I believe was designed and helped put on by Mr. Rory Wakeemup, who's a fantastic artist as well. I mean, there's a lot of work that a lot of different organizations are doing all over Turtle Island when it comes to our missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and relatives. And this is not something that's going to go away. So I'm really excited to see so many people getting involved and so many different levels of people getting involved with these sort of events to draw attention and awareness to this, because this has gone on for far too long. And it just brings me so much hope to see places like St. Catherine's?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Either one works.
Either one. They're the same place. Okay. Just
if you're older, and when I was a kid, it was Catherine's, but if you were younger, it was St. Kate's.
Okay. Fantastic. That was my question there. It's amazing. And I know Nancy Bolio had commented on our video with the link to this, and I had seen it stop through earlier today and I didn't mention it. So I'm so glad and grateful to you, Mary, for bringing that up too, because I had just heard about this yesterday and then hadn't even gotten a chance to mention it yet.
Hey, Mary.
I'm glad the word is getting out there.
We got another segment and Wendy's not here. Do you want to hang on, or do you got places to go?
No, I can stick around for a little bit longer.
At least howl with us then, right?
Okay. Yep.
Okay, cool. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we have a bonus segment with State Senator Mary Kunish. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
There's another one that cracks me up. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
The sponsor for this portion of the show is Howling for Wolves, and they would like to invite you to their outdoor fundraiser this coming October 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. I believe that's this Monday. Let me look. Today's Friday and today's the 22nd. So the 24th is It's definitely Friday today. So this Sunday, October 24th, from 2 to 4 p.m., Howling for Wolves is having an outdoor fundraiser featuring Native American singer-songwriter Jen Hewitt. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be at the Downtown Park Pavilion in Hopkins, Minnesota. That's at 49th Avenue South in Hopkins, Minnesota. And as always, Howling for Wolves is protecting wolves for future generations.
Mary came on strong there at the end. That was good. That and it's also good that we talk about wolves here and then what's happening in Wisconsin with the wolf hunt being delayed. We really, our prayers have been answered, and that's keep it up, Wisconsin. So we only got a couple minutes here, the last segment. I never told Wendy, though, that this is the shortest segment. So I always say, oh, you got the last segment, you know, but it is the shortest segment. But hopefully she's not listening, but I know she is. Miss you, Wen. So what, Mary, the exciting thing you talked about last week is the office for MMIW, and then we talked a little bit about the next step after you secured that and got that process going, that now we're opening it up to all brown and black people that are missing. Because as we know, you know, we're not treated. We're treated like history. We're treated like we're not human. And so I just bravo to all your work and all the things that you're helping out with and using your power in a good way.
Well, I just feel like I'm very fortunate to be in this place, in this space, in this time, and be able to have the ability to influence decision-making and leadership in our state. And it's, you know, like I say, it's not just me. There are plenty of our Native folks that are stepping up in so many different ways, whether at that really grassroots level of community engagement and election, all the way up to our lieutenant governor, doctors and lawyers and educators and, you know, musicians and people with who have the ability to influence and protect each other. You know, I really feel empowered, and I feel like our Native communities are starting to sense that and are starting to ask and demand for what should be all along. And yes, we, you know, here in Minnesota, we had that very comprehensive Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force with a report in 2 years. And from that, we created a permanent Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office within our state government to continue the work. But knowing that it's not just our Indigenous women and children that are the most vulnerable, we also created a Missing and Murdered African American Task Force. And that was carried by Representative Ruth Richardson in the House, and I carried it in the Senate. Wow, and so, you know, as I say, that intersectionality, women of color, and the invisibility is just, you know, it's got to be addressed, and it's got to be really broken down so we can rebuild it in a way that empowers those families. The families are the ones that really are the ones that are hurt the most because of slavery, because of boarding schools, because of reservations. All of those historic traumas literally and physically have changed the family structure for our communities.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things too that we don't talk a lot about, but it kind of ties in, and especially with the boarding school situation. But I know you and I, Mary, talk about this a lot, and that's the people that were sent away by adoption, and them coming back, and myself coming back. And we need to be open armed, but we also, you know, ICWA is coming up again, as you know, and, the Supreme Court, and that's a thing that we really have to keep our eyes on. And, being Native and being a BIPOC person, we always, if you're paying attention, you're paying attention to the attack on us. And so it's really great to have the balance of what you're doing, Mary, and, your voice. And yeah, it just makes the show worthwhile. It makes speaking about this, because there's light at the end of the tunnel many times, and it's not always. Sometimes it's an oncoming train, but other times it is a light in the tunnel that we can walk towards in a good way.
Absolutely. When you talk about the issue with child removal, Minnesota has the highest level of child removal across the nation. Mm-hmm. And there is a woman, I mentioned her early, Sandy Whitehawk. I met her through the ICWA Law Center. Whoops.
Yeah, definitely.
Sandy's are you getting a feedback from me?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm hearing it, but I'll just ignore me. And she is part of that blood memory.
Yep.
The story of removal and return. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the untold story of American Indian adoption era. You know, at a time when nearly one third of our children were removed from tribal communities nationwide, we have put in place the ICWA Indian Child Welfare Act, and it's not followed, and it's not acknowledged in a way that it should. It's a federal law. And so as there are more and more challenges to the Indian Child Welfare Act, there have been ways that different communities and especially adoption survivors have come together to help each other sort of mend from that historical trauma. And so Sandy Whitehawk, Sinkanung Lakota, is the founding director of First Nations Reparation Institute. Mm-hmm. And she was adopted out at the age of 18 months of age, and it took her a long time after years of struggling with abuse and recovery and mm-hmm. addiction that she was able to, you know, put the pieces together of herself. And then she went and reclaimed her Lakota identity and has worked on this documentary called Blood Memory. And I think it's been playing on public television channels.
Yeah,
we've had it here in Minnesota a number of times.
I
got to go out to Michigan with her a couple of years ago when it was for a sneak peek. She mm-hmm. and I and Justice McKeag and some of the ICWA staff went out to Michigan, and it was very emotional. But you know what? When I started to put together the legislation for the Missing and Murdered Task Force, I thought about how they set it up, how they went to the community and asked for the community to be the one who put it together. And so a lot of the work that we did on the task force was based off of the process of that adoption reunification process that she did. So we work off of each other's work.
That's right. And I want to just mention two things. She has a powwow every year, and people from all over the country come to adoption powwow. Here in the Twin Cities that I've had the opportunity to go to. And we're down to 30 seconds, so we want to give a shout-out and a happy birthday to Uncle Marty Ogama.
Yes, shout-out and happy birthday to my Uncle Marty Kobanes, who's done so much for the Keystone XL and Stop Line 3 movements. We just really respect you and sending you love and hoping that you have a great day today.
We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the 7th generation. Free Leonard Peltier.